All right, for 20 years, I served as CFO for Rosedale Mennonite Missions. Made a transition a year and a half ago. But during that time, I was well known in CMC, Conservative Mennonite Conference circles. People knew who I was, especially those in leadership. Gave me a sense of value, a sense of this is who I am. I'm important. And a year and a half ago, I made a transition, started into the world of outside sales. How many of you have ever been in outside sales? Anybody? Okay. Outside sales is when you go out and you try to solicit business, you contact customers, potential customers. And what I've learned during this year and a half is that outside sales can be an emotional roller coaster. It can be very rewarding, both emotionally and financially, when you close the sale, when you do well. It can also be very frustrating and very depressing when you are almost sure you have this sale and then it just goes away. So, what does this have to do with a sermon? Well, God has brought to me several truths that have served as an anchor for me, that my identity, my value, is not in what I do as an occupation, but it's in some truths from God's word. And I've had to continually come back to these, and I want to share them with you, and hopefully they can speak to you as well. Whether you do outside sales or not, I'm guessing that there are some among the group here this morning that at times have questioned, man, am I really worth anything? You know, what is my worth? And from God's word, I want to show you that we all have very high intrinsic worth because of our identity in God, our identity in Christ. So these three truths I want to share, they're anchors, foundations. They reveal our inherent worth, your inherent worth as a person, and they stand in stark contrast to the messages that we hear, that we're bombarded with continually through the media. Truth number one, I am created in God's image. This truth is revealed very quickly in the first part of the Bible. Genesis 1, we find God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. A few verses later, God saw all that he had made, and it says, he said, it was very good. God doesn't make junk, especially when what he's creating is created in his image. In Jeremiah, God speaks to Jeremiah, and it's a message to Jeremiah, but I believe it's a message that we can hear as well. God says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart." In Psalm 139, the psalmist writes, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." You are fearfully and wonderfully made. God created you. He created you in his image. And that alone gives you extreme value as a person. So the truth number one, you're a person, I'm a person of extremely high value for the simple reason that we've been created in the image of God. Truth number two, I've been chosen by God. I've been bought with a price. The word chosen takes me back to elementary school days. I don't know that they do it this way nowadays, but whenever we had recess and we wanted to play ball, we would choose, appoint two captains, and they would choose from the rest of the group who was going to be on their team. Now, if you were chosen last, that was pretty demeaning. But if you were one of the first ones chosen, it's like, wow, you know, I'm important. I have value because I am chosen. And it's that sense of chosenness that I believe is God's message here. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." You are a chosen people. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price." What kind of price were we bought at? Well, God bought me on the clearance rack. I was a factory second, you know, multiple design flaws. Fact, I'm pretty sure that God got me in one of those buy one, get one free deals, and I'm the freebie. Is that true? No. God paid full price for each of us. And it's not just a low price, but God paid the ultimate price. We were purchased through the sacrifice of God's one and only Son. The ultimate price was paid for me, for you. That gives us extreme intrinsic value. Okay, truth number three. I am a child of God. John 1:12 says, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." 1 John 3:1-2 says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are." In Romans 8, "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory." So we're not just children, but we're also co-heirs with Christ. And that means we're going to share in his glory. So my inherent worth, your inherent worth, is based on three truths. I'm created in God's image. I've been chosen by God, bought with a price, and I am God's child. Aren't you glad that the media just reinforces that daily in our minds? Some of you laugh. It doesn't. In fact, it does just the opposite. How many of you enjoy football? Okay, often when you hear them, the commentators talk about football, sorry, Trevor, this is American football, not football as in soccer. They talk about watching film. What does that mean? What does watching film mean? Nobody knows. You study the opponent. That's right. They're watching game film from the opponent. Why? Why would they do that? Because they want to see how they, you know, if they line up in this formation, it probably means this play is going to happen and they want to be prepared for it. So this morning I want to look a little bit at the film of our lives and see what are some of the lies that Satan does reinforce and does try to convey through media today to us. So, and these stand in stark contrast to the truths that I just told you about. Okay, lie number one. Satan says our worth is determined by our job, company, position. As I shared earlier, You know, before my identity was in, hey, I'm Rosedale Mennonite Mission CFO. That makes me important. That makes me valuable. That's what the world tells us. The more we get paid, the more intrinsic worth we have. Or a variation of this lie is our worth is determined by what we contribute to society. So if we don't contribute much, then we're not worth much. That leads to euthanasia or assisted suicide because, hey, if this person isn't contributing to society, then they're not worth living. It's lie number one. It's not true. Lie number two, our worth is determined by our looks. Now, obviously, those with greater physical beauty are worth more, right? No, that's not what God's word says. In 1 Samuel 16, when Samuel was looking for the man God wanted to be king, this is what the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." A couple other verses, I don't think they're on the screen, but Proverbs 31:30, "Charm is deceptive, beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised." And 1 Peter 3:3-4 says, "Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair, the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be of that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is great worth in God's sight." Lie number three, our worth is determined by our wealth and possessions. So we all know he who has the most toys wins, right? That's what the media tells us. If that's true, then I guess these RBC students aren't worth squat because they don't have anything, right? College students are usually poor as church mice. A digression here. This is for those of you who suffer with attention deficit disorder. But whenever I hear phrases like that, poor as church mice, I'm like, where did that come from? Or what does that mean? You know, like I hear, we're going to push the envelope. Push the envelope, what's that mean? Or they performed a hat trick. I don't know, it's one of my quirks. But I'm always like, what does that phrase mean? Where did it come from? So, just so you know, to be poor as a church mouse means to be poverty-stricken or very poor. Where it comes from, it was originally said to be hungry as a church mouse. Churches in the 1600s had no kitchens to cook meals and no storage or pantries to store food. So a mouse that was so unlucky to take up residence in a church would find no food there. The lucky mouse would find a place to live in the cellar where there was food, grocery store, house, whatever. As the time went on, the saying was changed from hungry to poor. So now you know where poor as a church mouse comes from. But lie number three, our worth is not determined by our wealth and possessions. Lie number four, our worth is determined by our intelligence or athletic ability. Now God gives us gifts, and we need to steward those gifts, whether it's intelligence, whether it's athletic ability, but they're gifts. They don't determine our intrinsic worth. So although Usain Bolt is much richer financially than I am, just because he can outrun me in a race doesn't mean he has more intrinsic value than I do, than you do. Lie number five, our worth is determined by our marital status. Now, obviously, those who are married are worth more. No, that's not the case. Satan tries to tell us that. He says, if you're single, you just don't have as much intrinsic worth. Or worse yet, if you're divorced or separated, you're damaged goods. You belong on the clearance rack. No, that's not what God's word tells us. That's what Satan tells us. Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, tells us that he actually thinks singleness is better. Your worth is not determined by your marital status. Special word to parents here. We play a huge role in the messages that our children hear in their early age, and then it replays through their mind later on in life. So if we convey God's truths and they know who they are, they are identified, their identity is in Christ, is in God, then they have that sense of, I am a valuable person. But if we let the media continually bombard them with some of these lies that I just walked us through, those are the messages that replay through life for them. So let's make sure we're communicating and we're reinforcing the truth of God's word and not the lies that Satan continually bombards us with. And we can do that outrightly or subtly, but it's important for us as parents to be aware of that and to convey God's truth and God's messages to our children. Well, in conclusion, there's a chance here, or there's a chance today, that you're comfortable in your own skin. You know your worth as a person and hold that dearly. My guess, though, is there are a lot of us who, from time to time, question, you know, what am I worth? My job is not very good, or I look in the mirror and I'm not near as beautiful as this person, and we let the lies of the enemy continually come to us. But let's come back to the truths of God's word, that our worth, our identity, can be anchored in the fact that, number one, we're created in God's image. That alone gives us extreme value. Number two, we've been chosen by God. We were bought at the ultimate price. And then number three, we're children of God, greatly loved and indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. God, thank you that you see us as valuable people. You didn't create junk. Lord, help us to receive your truth, not just today, but daily. And Lord, help us to identify the lies of the enemy and just close a deaf ear to those lies and have ears that are tuned in to you. Lord, I pray especially if there are any here this morning that have really been struggling with their worth as a person, God, you would speak to them, encourage their heart. Thank you for the way that you've done that to me, and Lord, we just thank you for your love, for paying the ultimate price for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.